Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Hello, hello, everybody. My favorite hour of the week. I hope it's yours, too. Nothing like exercising the brain muscles, which we're going to do today. I'm going to take a commonly understood phenomenon, that is liver detoxification, and I'm going to expand it into something much larger. Because most of us understand the liver and liver flushes and liver detoxes as what you do for your liver. Well, there's much, much, much more to understand about it. Beginning with the liver, as far as Arthur Guyton, that is one of the great medical textbooks in the history of textbooks. Every medical doctor knows Guyton's medical textbook on physiology. And in that book, it states that the liver has 1,200 known functions. 1,200. You hear anywhere from 600 to 1,200 to 1,600. I don't think anyone really agrees, but when we say liver, it should not mean to you, and this is the driving point of the show, it should not just mean to you liver flush. Because the liver does so many things. In fact, the way you should think about the liver is, no matter what symptom you have, no matter what disease you have, no matter what your interest in health is, it's related to the liver. That's the way you want to look at the liver. You can't get around maintaining optimal liver function in all 1,600 functions of the liver. Now, that's counterintuitive because you're thinking about your kidneys and you're thinking about your heart condition and you're thinking about your brain and you're thinking about your joints and you're thinking about your energy levels. You're thinking about your sexual function. You're thinking about being healthy till you're 90 or 100 years old. That's the way you think, and that's understandable. The point of the show is the way you ought to think is where in the arc of cellular efficiency, where in the arc, in the pendulum of cellular efficiency, does your liver live? Now, that's the concept. Can you embrace that concept? So counterintuitive, right? The low-information voter is thinking in terms of, I got an itch. What do I do about the itch? And after we go to the medical doctor and he says, I don't know, you go to your local vitamin therapist and you try the herbs for itching. What herb do I take for my symptom, or what drug do I take for my symptom? And that's the low information voter. On the other end of it, approaching the other end, we have people who know that they've got to clean their liver. I'm asking you to take a higher step here and understand that they're on the basis of what the liver does and the infinite myriad of interconnected functions of the human body, how they all talk to each other, how the health is not some linear mechanistic concept. Health is like a symphony of music. Everything is interacting with everything to bring the resonance across a threshold so that the audience begins to clap or cry or show joy at the sound of the music. That is what health is. Corollary to that is you have to look at the liver like one of those big musical instruments. And it either sounds okay, it sounds good, it sounds great, or it sounds magnificent. And that's the concept here. So what does that mean functionally? Well, to understand what we mean functionally, in other words, what do you do to make that liver a magnificent liver, you got to understand its functions. Otherwise, none of it sticks. None of it makes sense. So as always, dig a little deeper. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. Always follow the pictures if you can. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, that's .cc with two T's. Why? A little picture goes a long way. Words don't cut it when you can look at pictures, right? What does the liver do? 500 vital functions, picture number one. It's a factory for cholesterol. Did you know your liver makes cholesterol? Well, you all knew it excretes waste. The liver is a big fat organ in the upper right quadrant of the body, for those of you who didn't know, underneath your rib cage, expanding from the front of your rib cage to the back on the upper right side. And yes, you know that the liver does what? That the liver detoxes your body. It pulls stuff out of the blood. So the liver is the vacuum cleaner for the blood. But the liver also makes a ton of stuff. The liver makes things, the liver stores things, and the liver excretes poisons. So it makes stuff, it stores stuff, and it excretes stuff. Right there, you've got at least 500-600 functions. Now, why do we have to understand that it makes stuff? Well, one thing it makes and ultimately ends up regulating is cholesterol. The liver makes your cholesterol. And cholesterol is a building block, of course, for the membranes of the cells. That should not be news to you if you listen to this show regularly. Cholesterol is the steroid base for which all of your hormones are produced. So just on that basis alone, the fat function of the liver is of massive significance to us. Massive significance. Why? Well, if the liver makes the cholesterol, and you're an individual who, by your constitution, produces a lot of cholesterol, you have to make sure that you get the other half of cholesterol production in order, meaning cholesterol production and cholesterol manipulation or regulation. People who make a lot of cholesterol tend to have no shortage of grease in the hair. They have no shortage of grease or oil in the skin. People that make a lot of cholesterol tend to overflow with cholesterol. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And that's an asset. Cholesterol production and copious cholesterol production is an asset as long as it's regulated. And that regulation means make a ton of it, enjoy it for what it is, let it fill the membranes of your cells, let it give the wonderful luster and shine and oil to the skin, let it make the hair thicker and shinier, let it do all these things, but regulate it, meaning you've got to suck it out through the bile ducts. When you don't suck out the extra cholesterol that a cholesterol-savvy liver makes, that cholesterol then begins to be part of a fat complex that can do all sorts of clogging in all sorts of places. So right there, from the beginning, we're taking another function of the liver, that it makes fat, it makes cholesterol. Now that cholesterol is vital to the body, and that unless you can regulate that cholesterol, again, what? Through the liver. Nature put a perfect system in order. The organ that makes it is the organ that drains it. All this cholesterol on the side, from the eggs you eat and the things you shouldn't eat that you do eat that raise your cholesterol, this is fundamentally speaking nonsense. Now, I say it's nonsense, assuming that your regulation systems are in order. Lots of people can eat lots of cholesterol and find that their cholesterol doesn't rise. Why? Because their regulation system is in order. So one thing to understand about the fat content of the body in terms of cholesterol And of course, your concern for what cholesterol can do if it's not regulated, meaning it can be part of the complexes that plug up arteries. And that's just one of the things high cholesterol can do. But the plugging of the arteries, then it interferes with full vascularization. You don't get full blood infusion, and your body suffers in a multitude of ways, not just coronary heart disease, not just plaque in the brain. But if the biliary system is optimized, meaning if you can drain through the bile ducts all that cholesterol in the blood, and if you can handle the overload because the biliary system has been optimized, well, then the overproduction is easily compensated by the drainage, and out into the toilet, all your extra cholesterol goes. That's if you understand the flush component to the liver. And that's the liver and gallbladder flushing. Those of you new to the show that aren't on the website, just understand that there's a book you want to get. I put it on picture 34. It's one of the Bibles of the olive oil flushes. I don't think anyone's done or probably will ever do a better job than Andreas Moritz, The Amazing Liver and Gallbladder Flush. Read it. Don't get caught up in the details of should I do my flush this way or that way or the other way. All the little details that account for variations in the way that you approach these flushes. Don't sweat the small stuff. Get the concept. Get the book. $10 book on Amazon, The Amazing Liver and Gallbladder Flush. And understand, right from your understanding of the liver and one of its functions, that it produces cholesterol, that if the biliary system, through these olive oil flushes, coffee enemas, is regulated, it's one very powerful fundamental answer to how you regulate your cholesterol. But to understand this, you have to understand the function of the liver, or one of the functions. Okay, let's keep going. We talked about the liver. I did a whole show last week. The liver balances hormone. Well, once again, your hormones, whether it's your testosterone, your estrogen, your DHEA, your pregnenolone, your progesterone, so on and so forth. All your cortisols, I mean your cortisol, your adrenaline, aldosterone. All these hormones in the body are steroid-based, meaning they're cholesterol-based. We take cholesterol, we turn it to a steroid, we play around with the steroid base, and we end up with this great variety in what we call the hormones, which all, of course, have to be balanced. If you got too much of this and not enough of that, something's got to cut down on what's too much and build up what you don't have enough of. This, of course, is done, as you well know. Perhaps this is a show today for my regular audience. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's two T's. Get to know my shows. This isn't the show that you just drop in on, hear a couple of things, and voila, you've got a fix. This is a show you got to get to know. This is an educational forum on the air. People do this. People on radio have shows, political shows from political points of views that are effectively institutes. This is the same concept, but with nutrition. It's not the other model where if you're tuning in for the first time today, you're going to listen to something about the liver, and I'm going to tout the awesome effects of a multitude of herbs for the liver that, of course, I can provide for you. This isn't the purpose of this show. The purpose of this show is to teach you why you need to take these herbs, to teach you, to give you a base so you can navigate yourself through what a lot of people have an issue with, which is there are so many choices in alternative medicine. Who do you know? Who do you trust? How do you navigate? And for those of you who are healthy, God bless you, then you can kick back, relax, and just make mistakes, and who cares? But if you are sick, if you're hurting, if your life has changed because you don't feel well, if any of these things are true, well, then you know day to day you simply can't afford to make mistakes. So you've got to invest enough time to navigate yourself, and that's what this show is. 282 shows. That's 282 hours. I could do 6 books just off this radio show. In fact, I actually am with a medical editor. You know, those short little books that you just put on the store shelf and it covers a lot about one topic. That's what's dispersed through all 282 shows. So that's the perspective. So the liver balances hormone. Well, what do I take to help the liver balance hormone? Wrong. What you do for the liver and for your health allows the liver to function more optimally. And as it functions more optimally, all of its functions, 500 or 1600, will improve. You can't pick one really and expect to improve it. You have to look at the organ as a whole, which is so related to your health that, well, if you sleep well, you help your liver. If you pray well, you help your liver. If you eat well, you help your liver, and so on and so forth. And you're going to constantly hear me emphasize and talk like this because it's going to get you away from the notion of someone told you something's wrong with your liver and you got to do something about your liver. And you went to the doctor and he didn't have answers. So you're trying this holistic stuff and you want to know what to do about your liver. You don't want to know about your sleep. You don't want to know about your emotional life. You don't want to know about your spiritual life. You don't want to know how you eat. You don't want to how you exercise. You just want to know what you can do for that little thing in the liver. That, my friends, is death. That is the low information voter and the way the low information voter thinks. Don't think that way. Thus the show. All right. Let's keep going. Let's talk about picture number six. Detoxification, the liver, has a couple of phases of detoxification. We kind of make it easy for you. We break it down into what we call phase one and phase two processes. Phase one detoxification means all the chemicals you take run over to the liver, they circulate through the liver, and the liver breaks them down with a variety of enzymes utilizing chemical reactions that have names: oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, hydration. If you studied them, you'd be amazed how easy these things are. Dehalogenation. And then the liver also does something to these things that it breaks down in phase one. It conjugates them in phase two, so they can go over to the kidney and be excreted. The liver takes fat soluble poison, say dioxin, which is a horrid poison. It's in sugar, which means it's in everything you eat. Some pesticide you inhaled. Some benzene-derived chemical that you inhaled. The garbage on your in your shaving cream or on your in your makeup that you use every day. You walk into I went to Bed Bath & Beyond last night and I walked in and I couldn't believe it. In 20 minutes, I was nauseous. The stink in that store. If you go into those stores at the mall and they smell. Somebody thinking they're doing you a favor sprays these fragrances. These fragrances are carcinogens. And then it's stuck into your mattresses. It's stuck into your pillows. It's coming off the plastics. It's an onslaught. All that stuff is usually fat soluble, meaning you can mix it in olive oil. And it goes into your blood as you inhale it. Then it goes to the liver. In phase one, the liver takes it apart. In phase two, if you're looking at picture six, this makes more sense. But in phase two, then the liver takes what it broke down and binds it to something else that makes it no longer fat soluble. Now it's water soluble. And then it excretes it through the kidney. A ton of drugs that you take for your illnesses and symptoms are excreted this way all the time. They go into the blood, they do their thing, the residues go to the liver fixes it phase one, conjugates it in phase two, and then it's excreted through the kidney. And of course, based upon how good your liver does its job and how good your kidney does this job is the threshold then in the blood of the drug. So drug toxicities, including side effects, are heavily regulated by the rate at which you can pull them out of the blood through a healthy liver and a healthy kidney. Just a little side note there. Fascinating, huh? It's not just about an olive oil flush. It's about your understanding that if the liver isn't given, if the liver isn't stressed by life, the worse you eat, the more you stress it. The less you sleep, the more you stress it. The more you worry, the more you're angry, the more you stress it. The more chemically exposed you are, the more congested the bile ducts are, the more your blood sugar's off, so on and so forth. The more the liver has to work. The liver is the animal house. It's the place your body, it's what your body depends upon to keep law and order in your physiology. And the harder you work it, the more you beat it up. We call the liver the workhorse. The harder you work it, the more you beat it up, the harder it works until it works less efficiently. And then poisons begin to move out of the blood more slowly than they used to. So anything that hits the blood, that hits a liver that's stressed because the liver's worked too hard, because your health is deranged, is going to stay in the blood longer. Anything that's bad that stays in the blood longer. So the clearance time for poisons in the blood is very, very liver regulated. Now, the brain is up there watching all of this. And if your head is on straight, and I mean that literally, if your head is on straight, then the clearance time, which the brain is watching, alerts the brain to a problem. And the problem is the rate at which the liver, not just through the bile ducts, but through phase one and phase two processes. So the chemical processes through which the liver takes and denatures, takes apart, sucks out of the blood all those bad things that are going to cause you cancer and other diseases, then dumps them in the bile ducts if those ducts are even open. The rate at which this occurs, if it slows down, those poisons build up in the blood. So they're sitting there in the blood, and they're building up, and they're building up. Now the brain sees this. What do I mean by the brain sees this? Chemical and mostly neurological, meaning via the nervous system, signals are sent through the autonomic nerves up to the hypothalamic centers of the brain that are eyeballing all of this. Yes, it really works that way. You see why you can't separate anything? Someone with bad head trauma, someone that clenches their jaw, someone that doesn't have their head on straight, anterior head carriage at a certain point, disconnects the hypothalamus from the liver. And so I just talked about a critical pathway here between the liver, the blood, and the brain. And if that head's on not on straight, you don't have this critical pathway. It's kind of complicated, but it's fun. It's amazing to know that up there on top of your neck is your brain, and in the center of it is what the Vedics call the crown chakra, what the Germans call the center of intelligence. And if there's something off kilter about that locale up between your ears, that being the hypothalamic pituitary axes, it doesn't see what's going on. And if you watch people, if you treat people, if you observe people with head traumas, you see their bodies function dumb. Their bodies don't function right. They don't seem to react to the signals that normal people do. And you've got to do something about that. But in the ideal of it, once the liver works too slow, because the health of the liver and the health of the body needs work, or the bile ducts are clogged, the stuff in the blood builds up concentration. The hypothalamus sees it, and you know what happens? Before that dirty blood gets to the brain, the blood starts pushing the poison out into the extracellular space. So I want you to get this one. drop down or drop up. Let's see where this picture is. This picture must be here. There it is. Drop on down to picture 30. The extracellular matrix. Picture 30. The area between the cells. Now, this is about you. I don't care what your concern is, or if you have a concern about being radiantly healthy when you're 110 years old, or if you're 40 years old and you can't work anymore because you're ill. If you're 50 and you've got the pot belly and you used to remember you had health and you don't. Wherever you're at in your health arc, you've got to understand what I'm talking about. This is really big. This is the finished product. To understand that there's a relationship here that begins your disease. I don't care what disease it is. And that relationship is, as the liver congests, it slows down its rate of detoxification. As the biliary system is congested, even if the liver broke it down, it couldn't send it out. But as those processes occur, usually tandem to each other, the concentration of carcinogens and other poisons build up in the blood. Disease-causing vectors build up in the blood, including microbes. The hypothalamus sees it. And before the brain is going to suffer, it pushes osmotically. Osmotically speaking, the laws start to change, and it pushes all the garbage into the extracellular space. So now the cells of your body, the cells in all your organs, are progressively, collectively suffering from this swamp of muck that's building up in between them. This is why Pissinger, The Extracellular Matrix, a book you've heard me talk about now for 5 years, called Understanding the ECM, this place between the cells, as the basis for biological medicine. It meant if you want to understand what holistic medicine is, doctors, clients, so patients, everything, you have to understand that it's about what happens in the space between the cells. And the point is, once it gets filthy, your cells are going to change structure in response to the filth they're surrounded in. And that change in their morphology, we call this dysplasia. D-Y-S-P-L-A-S-I-A. Dysplasia. As in ladies, pap smears, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 dysplasia. All organs with all the cells in the organs can become dysplastic. And then when they become too dysplastic, then they become anaplastic. And anaplasia overtakes apoptosis, and you have the beginning of disease, usually malignancy. Now there in the grand scheme of things, is a way for you to understand the beginning of disease, and before disease, the beginning of symptom. When the ECM, the extracellular matrix, becomes too filthy, your cells start screaming, and they scream to each other. And they all talk to each other, and there's a general panic. Your cells don't talk to each other? Okay. How about you try picture number 32? Picture 32. Look at that. The ECM allows for cell-to-cell communication. You bet it does. That means if the boogeyman is knocking on one cell membrane, the cell membrane down the street hears about it. And that's all mediated through chemical and neurological impulses cell to cell. That is the way it really works. Cells talk to each other. Why shouldn't living dynamic subunits of larger living dynamic systems all talk to each other? You bet. This is why the biochemical matrix, the biochemical model for how our organs function, is kind of dead. It's a great language, biochemistry. But it's not really the way it works. If you can't understand the body energetically, what does energetically mean? It means to understand the full impact of the neurological system on your health. Classic example, the nervous system is allowing the ECM to communicate cell to cell. And even if we can isolate a few chemicals that account for this communication, make no mistake about it, the nervous system is underneath it, or at least dominating it. So, Let's get back to the liver. What does this mean in terms of your liver? Your liver that you're not thinking about. Your liver that hasn't been diagnosed as having a problem. Your liver that the yearly physical and a couple of enzymes that they measure are all normal, and thus you're being told you're fine. You don't have to think about your liver. This is nonsense. Your liver in the arc, in the pendulum of health, has to be like the liver you had when you were 20. What's the biological age of your liver? Here's a good rule of thumb. Just assume your liver's in bad shape and function henceforth. If you don't want to go through the tests, if you don't want to get too complicated, if you don't really want to understand what I'm talking about today in minute detail because you don't have time, just understand this, that the time, the money, and the energy that you put into your health, the holistic stuff, is founded in hard science that you may not have time to investigate. I'm talking about beyond this show. I'm talking about like lots of people do, doctors included. You listen to this show. I have doctors all over the world on this website all the time. Doctors. Because this stuff is the clinical stuff. It's where the rubber meets the road on how to really look at health as it relates to organs with as much scientific, hard science base as we have. This concept about the biliary system, if it's congested, and liver, if phase one and phase two detoxifications aren't optimized, by the time you're 60 or 70 years old, forcing lots of garbage into the ECM, creating an inflammatory response, fibrin deposition, and choking out the cell towards dysplasia, this is the stuff. If you don't have time to break this down, just really understand that if you don't actively engage yourself in real holistic health, you're going to accelerate. You know what? We don't have an ecosystem protecting us today. I mean, this is a big deal. Even if you live in the suburbs, this is a big deal. The air is under assault. The water is under assault. The food is under assault. The topsoil is under assault. The EMF, the frequencies you're being hit with, no matter where you are, just about, especially the cities, these are destroying us. I mean, there are so many angles upon which we are being destroyed. You can't walk into a store to buy a pillow without suffocating to the garbage that they're circulating in the air in the name of higher marketing. It is absurd. So here's a great rule of thumb. Do the extra things, even if you don't have deep understanding. But you got to have some understanding or you're going to be John Q. Public. And if you're in John Q. Public, you know, at this point, it's like a bunch of cattle online in a slaughterhouse. That's about what John Q. Public. If the guy that next lives next door to you thinks eating at Ralph's is okay and all this stuff is bunko and you're going to get by just listening to, you know, your vitamin therapist do seminars. I mean, if you're understanding, like most people, dipping their beaks just into holistic medicine, starting to realize that it might be better to go to a farmer's market, this is not a good place to be in 2016. So, concept, I just got it. I'm not going to repeat it. Take a look at picture 31. There's a cell. Picture 31 looks like a little egg yolk. Look at all that. What is that around that cell? What that is the extracellular matrix. Look at that. Magnified, though, many, many, many times. Okay. Now, what do you think controls the rate at which the liver works? Well, enough said about the bile ducts. But there's another thing you've got to understand about what controls the rate at which the liver works has a lot to do with the blood that flows through the liver. So go to picture 11. Go to picture 9. Circulation in the liver. The liver is a blood hog. The individual cells of the liver, the trillion cells in the liver, are called hepatocytes. Those hepatocytes need food. They have so much to do. They have their own metabolism. Their metabolism is either relative to the blood they're soaked with. Cells are soaked with capillary blood, in other words, fresh arterial blood off the capillary, and cells are soaked in venous blood and lymphatic blood, so to speak, pulling garbage out of the cell. So let's talk about the liver cell itself. Understand the drainage through the liver is a very special animal. Drainage through the liver, drainage through the liver is unlike any other organ in the body. There's a couple of places in the body that have really interesting drainage systems, and one of them is in the liver. And that has to be looked at. Why did nature put that there? Put what there? Well, look at picture 11. Drainage in the liver. These big, fat, blue veins. And I'm going to get to that in a second. Dust off my soundboard. Look at that. Look at picture 11. Look at the big fat infiltration of big fat blue veins through the liver. You've got the portal vein coming in. You've got the inferior vena cava. You've got big fat veins throughout the entire mass of this massive organ in the upper right quadrant called the liver. All of this drainage of the liver breaks down to a unit you don't see anywhere else in the human body. It's called the sinusoid. Look at picture 19. Picture 19, there's something called a sinusoid, a hepatic sinusoid in each mini lobule of the liver. Look at that. If you're on the website, you got to just look at picture 19. The liver is broken down into thousands and thousands of sinusoids that look like circles, and like spikes in a wheel are these venous drainage passages that go in the center to the largest drainage passage. The liver has a unique, unlike any other place in the body, exquisite drainage system for old blood, all of which goes into the central vein and into the inferior vena cava and up to the heart. And then the heart, of course, off the lung, oxygenates that blood, detoxes some of it, and we're on our way. The venous blood of the liver. There is a massive amount of venous blood passing through this bloodsucker of an organ. Bloodsucker because it's the workhorse for the body. It's got more known functions than any organ. And here's the point. That blood can get thick. So when we talk about blood stasis, meaning the viscosity, the rate at which the blood moves through the liver, the thickness of the blood moving through the liver, the thickness of the blood relative to a lower oxygen, a higher viscous, a less pressurized system, the venous system. When you have congestion there, the blood turns to muck. So where's the blood going to congest? In a venous system, where is the blood going to congest? Well, let's consider the venous system of the brain. In the venous system of the brain, as the blood is going down the jugular vein towards the heart, meaning the venous blood, the deoxygenated dirty blood, which is what veins carry, coming down your head, down your neck, and into your heart. Do you think that, because of the gravitational force, because the blood's going down, and that's the way gravity will pull it, do you think that blood gets congested? You really don't have blood stasis in the jugular vein. But the inferior vena cava, the big veins of the blood that carry all this muck of blood through this liver, that can get so overwhelmed because of the amount of stress you put on it and the job it has to do, when that blood has to push up the vena cava towards the right atrium of the heart, it's fighting gravity. It's not in a particularly locomoted system like the arterial system, and the blood tends to pool. But this isn't a little thing. It's a big thing. The pooling of the blood, the pooling of the blood in the venous sinusoid is a big deal. The pooling of the blood. So we talk about draining the bile ducts. Bingo. Enough said on liver and gallbladder flushes for the reasons I told you earlier, right? Builds up in the blood. If it can't come out the biliary system, it goes into the tissue, creates dysplasia. Done. Now, another mechanism on the other side of the biliary system is the blood. The Chinese understand this. The Vedics understand this. Ancient medicine understands this. The liver blood. When the liver blood gets too thick, I'm explaining to you why it gets too thick. And why it gets too thick is, one, the liver has so much to do, it's going to run dirtier. Two, to get out of that muck of a liver, that mass of an organ, it's got to pump up. It's got to go up the vena cava. So this is one of the high points for congestion. Blood in the venous sinusoid of the liver. So look at picture 19 again. And really reflect on that. That's a big deal. Because in the venous sinusoid of the liver, in the sinusoid of the liver, you've got the biliary system, the bile canaliculi, the microscopic bile ducts, taking garbage that the hepatocyte wants to give it. And where you have too much congestion there, the venous system will take it. Even though the venous system doesn't want it. The venous blood out of the liver ideally is clean or cleaner. But where the biliary system fails, the sinusoid compensates, and if the blood there's too thick, now it's the 1-2 punch to the liver. So, now think about this. This is what's so exciting, if you can understand. The liver has 12 to 1600 known functions. We spread these functions out. Storage, it stores your vitamins like A and D. It stores iron. Detoxification, and then it makes things like your globulins, your albumins. It makes proteins that have to carry stuff in the blood, transport proteins. It synthesizes certain vitamins. There's a lot of things that the liver does in terms of it makes. It makes cholesterol. It stores and it detoxes. That's what the liver's doing. If those functions are not supported by biliary drainage and motion of the venous system, the cells of the liver get hot, meaning the cells of the liver begin to inflame, meaning they burn out. So when we talk about, okay, go to picture 28, stages of liver damage, healthy liver, fatty liver, fibrotic liver, cirrhotic liver. Go to picture number 29, stages of liver damage, normal liver, fatty liver, fibrotic liver, cirrhotic liver. The liver's 1600 functions are subject to a downgrading based upon what the texture of the liver looks like, the texture of the liver. Is the liver healthy, flexible, squeezable, punchable, regenerable tissue? Or is the liver fatty? You there that have had that diagnosis, fatty liver. The fat that the liver puts there is to buffer the inflammatory products that are about to eat the cell. The fat that the liver puts there in a fatty liver is put there to buffer the garbage that eventually the cell inflaming to is going to die of. So fatty liver is like stage one help from the liver. The liver puts the fat there. Fatty liver is a sign things are going south. A fibrotic liver is a thing, is a sign that things are going more south. And then ultimately a cirrhotic liver, liver cirrhosis. So let's take people who drink booze as an example. A drinker. A drinker that drinks when they're 17 just inflames the hepatocytes. In other words, when you drink alcohol, alcohol is a poison at a certain point. Alcohol is taken apart by alcohol dehydrogenase. That is an enzyme that people make by genetics in different degrees, and to some extent you can enhance the amount of enzyme the liver will make. But irregardless, the liver makes enzyme naturally to break down alcohol. Where it fails, the liver cell says, look, I can't handle this, and the alcohol is a terrible poison. That poison, then, is an assault to the liver cell. And that liver cell, as it's assaulted, as its membrane is breaking down, begins to inflame, meaning immune system cells see the breakdown, come in, and they start spitting into the pot their own chemicals. And we've got prostaglandins, bradykinins, fibrin deposition, and this whole thing. The body knows it, so it puts fat in between the liver cells. Do you know how many livers are doing that? You listening to the show today, I will guarantee you, even if you have do not have diagnosis, you have some degree of this going on, which means some degree of your 1600 functions is being impaired. That's the way you have to think about it. From that fatty deposition comes a second stage where the liver begins to scar. And as it scars, then, the extracellular matrix, the space between the hepatocytes, is compromised because it's filled with scarred tissue. Now your liver cells don't function nearly as well. They don't do stage one and stage two detoxification at the same rate. And as always, as the rest of the body goes down the tube as we age, the liver, of course, is under more duress. It has to work harder when it should be working easier. And so what do we bring to this? Well, obviously, we bring these flushes, the olive oil flushes, enhance biliary flow. But what I wanted to focus on now is, can you understand then why you have to move the blood? Now, the Chinese understood this. So if you look at picture 21, when I say Chinese, I mean Chinese medicine. I mean Vedic medicine. I mean old European medicine. I mean all medicines understood that if you look at the tongue and it's got that purplish, dull reddish, cyanotic color to it, there's too much blood stasis. There's picture 21. Picture 22 and 23. Sit in off sunlight, meaning not in direct sunlight, like shadow through the window, put a mirror in front of your tongue, open your mouth, lift up your tongue, and look at the veins under the tongue. Picture 22 and 23, purplish, bluish veins, distended veins, distended purple, bluish veins, distended purple veins. If you've got that, understand that somewhere between the liver, the heart, and the lung, that blood ain't moving. And usually it just means the blood's not moving from the chest up. From the liver up, the blood's moving too slow. So in Chinese medicine, we literally say liver blood stasis. Liver blood stasis. Liver blood stasis in Chinese, the equivalent of it in Vedic medicine, means the blood is pooling in the venous sinusoid. Now, what do you do about thick blood? Here's where you're rescued. All the herbs thin the blood. Herbs are blood thinners. If you're taking that wonderful product, Liver Nano Detox, your blood is thinning because of the turmeric. Turmeric is a great herb. It's used to decongest the blood. Great. You can relax now because you already take that. Wrong. And this is my point to you. If you breathe a sigh of relief because I just said that, you're missing the whole point of this show. This is what you do. You say to yourself, yes, I'm already taking the herb that supports decongestion of blood that's too thick. Great. You're wrong. It's like digestion. Yes, I take digestive enzymes. I don't have to think about digestion. Wrong. What you have to do is understand that the purpose of taking these herbs is to decongest the blood. And then you have to work on multiple levels to give every known diagnostic test the opportunity to tell you you do not suffer from blood stasis. There are ways to do that. One of them I gave to you, right? You should already know. One way to determine whether or not you've got blood stasis is the color of the tongue. The other way is palpatory, which, of course, I think is a little over the head of too many people. But if you press into your tissue right now, press deep and it hurts, rest assured, blood stasis is way more than it's supposed to be. Okay, let's relate this to common sense. Ladies, every month when you had a menstrual cycle or when you still do, after ovulation, after, say, day 20, you know the way you kind of get muscularly tight, the way you get PMS-y? At that point, if you take your finger, any of you at that part in the cycle right now, if you take your finger and press deep into your tissues, how tender those tissues are, how sensitive those tissues are. If you put a female on a massage table during day 20 to day 28, from the luteal phase right to the first day of menses, and you press into any part of her body, half the women you do that to will scream. And they will scream because their tissues are tender. That's blood stasis. Blood stasis, fibromyalgia is blood stasis. So knowing just what level of stasis through the blood you suffer from, this is a known phenomenon. Medicines do this. Palpatory protocols to assess, meaning what I just described, looking at the tongue. There are blood viscosity markers. On other shows, on shows I've done on blood stasis, not specifically on liver blood stasis, there are actually meters that determine blood viscosity. And these are the things I want you to really, really absorb here. That the issue is not, oh, good, yes, I take turmeric, that means I'm fine. What I want you to understand is that if you take turmeric, now you know, intelligently speaking, why you take it, in addition to which you're keeping the big picture in mind. Where in your physiology is viscosity at in the blood? How much blood is pooling through your liver? And you cannot get around this concern without getting flexible. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on flexibility today, but the flexibility that the poses of Qigong, of Tai Chi, of yoga, of Pilates bring to you are in the interest of pumping that organ. The liver has to pump as an organ to drain the venous blood out of the sinusoid. All your organs pump. All your organs are sponges. By definition, by design, if a liver is not fibrotic, if it is not cirrhotic, a cirrhotic liver is a hard liver. A fibrotic liver is a hard liver. A fatty liver is a hard liver. A healthy, supple, flexible liver is a liver you can squeeze like a sponge. When you have that type of viability to an organ, you have drainage from that organ. And this is what the poses, this is what visceral manipulation is, from Baral to Rolf to anybody. This is what getting your hands on your organ and squeezing it and twisting it and moving it and stretching it is part of. There are structural and nutritional, all of which feed into your deeper understanding of what optimizing liver function is all about. Now, if you weigh what I just said next to an herb you take, think of the difference between the two. And certainly you need the herbs. the green herbs. Any liver herb is thinning the blood of the liver. All your green drinks, all your juicing, all your alkalizing agents are thinning the blood, are taking the coagulatory stickiness out of the blood. A lot for you to hear today. Yes, indeed. A lot for you to hear about your amazing liver. Move the blood, drain the bile. Respect the fact that it's doing hundreds and hundreds of things. Respect the fact that if you don't move the bile, the buildup in the tissue causes dysplasia. If you can get that from today's show, you got much. Because now you understand how softening, draining, secretion, excretion, pumping, breaking up fibrin, pulling stem cells from the marrow of the bone into the organ because you've created the pathway by clearing the extracellular matrix is really the science behind tissue regeneration. And guess what? Those of you who have liver symptoms, liver concerns, your liver regrows itself every 7 years. You can cut out half your liver and it'll grow itself back to the full organ. Few organs in the body boast of this. No one should have a liver issue. If you do, if you got health concerns, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.